Hey, Take Two Podcast listener land, Nick here. I want to thank all of you guys and gals in advance for listening to this episode as we discuss the CW's DC Universe shows that just wrapped up their season finales. We're going to talk about The Flash, Supergirl, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. I think CW did a pretty solid job this year with giving us a pretty decent lineup and pretty decent season. Although they did have their ups and downs, we're going to discuss all of that. But I'm going to give you fair warning, this show will contain lots and lots of spoilers. So there was your warning, and with that, please enjoy.
Welcome back, everybody, to another great episode of Take Two Podcast. We have a special edition show for you this evening. We are wrapping up the CW's Arrowverse, if you will, the Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow, the four big comic book shows that all are featured on the CW. I am one of your hosts, Brian. I am joined this evening with Tony. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm so inspired by that song. I, like, want to be a superhero now. I don't know. I'm going to dare to defy myself.
I dare you to defy yourself this evening.
Okay.
Another man that's no stranger to defying odds is Bo. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. And don't cut yourself short. You are not one of the hosts. You are the host.
Oh, no.
Hostess with the mostest.
The mostest.
Bo is the host with the hostest. Because he eats hostess.
Because I'm fat, I get it.
He eats Twinkies.
Fat joke.
That's crazy because we've never made a fat joke about you on any of our episodes ever.
First one. I'm surprised. I get it all the time.
And I'm not usually an asshole like that. So
no, you're more of a dick, not quite an asshole.
Oh, okay, that's weird.
Okay, well, if we're all holding form, I need you two to pay attention and do everything I tell you to. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, all six of our hosts watch the Arrowverse, or Berlantiverse, if you want to call it. Each of us watches at least two of the shows, I think, right? Maybe at least three for everybody.
Yeah.
I think three of us watch Supergirl. All of us watch Flash and Arrow. And three of us Legends. Does that sound about right?
I'm the only one that watches Legends, I think, right?
Oh, I could have
sworn. At least it's on tonight.
I thought Roy did Legends as well. Either way, he's not.
I'm saying for those of us who are on tonight.
Oh, on tonight, yeah. Well, on tonight, we're going to lie and say that we all watched all four of them. So, but Roy and Nick and Craig sadly could not be with us this evening, but they did send us in their notes and their thoughts. So we're going to break it down for you. We're going to go through the entire CW lineup. We're going to break it down day by day in their order, because we know that's how everyone watches TV still these days. We'll go Supergirl, then The Flash, then Arrow, and then Legends, and give you kind of an overview of each season, recap it, and then a little going forward, give you our yes or no on the finale if we liked it. And anyways, enough chit-chat. Let's break it all down. So lead off is Supergirl, because that's on our Monday nights at 8 o'clock on the CW. I don't think we have to say that every time because we know the station at this point.
It's on Monday night?
Yeah, it's also on CW. Yeah, it used to be called the WB.
WB / CW with the frog.
Yep.
Supergirl is decent. I thought this season was okay. This season they took a lot of liberties towards promoting gay marriage, towards promoting diversity, and a lot of episodes were centered around that, and it got away from just your basic comic booky stuff, but its ratings were reflected. A lot of girl power things were, you know, empowered and went forward, and so it worked for what they were doing. As far as the show itself, though, it was solid. It opens up in the beginning of the season with Superman, which was like a not well-kept secret, I guess, over the summer. Like, everyone knew it was going to happen. I was hoping they'd surprise us with who got to actually play Superman, but they released it over the summer last year. He comes in. I thought it was the best two episodes of the season once he was there, but maybe I was biased. The whole season, we meet Lena Luthor. She plays a large role, and she actually befriends Supergirl. It was very a la Smallville, where Clark and Lex were friends. And this is Lena Luthor, who is Lex's sister, and her and Kara are becoming friends and trusting in each other, and she doesn't know that she's Supergirl, obviously.
Now, sidebar real quick, is that a real character from the comic book?
His sister?
Lena Luthor? I never read, I guess, to see that.
Yeah, she's a real character. She wasn't nowhere near as prominent as they made her for this show, though.
Okay.
They gave her a legitimate role. And
She's actually there to legitimize the Luthor name, because Lex, I guess, was going the wrong way, so she's trying to make the name, I guess, more positive.
Yeah, and he's taken over, she took over a large part of the company, and they talk about Lex and how he's in jail, but then when you meet their mother, she's still evil, and she says, you know, that Lex was misguided, and people didn't understand that Superman was the bad guy, and he should be the one that's in jail. So she's on Lex's side, the mom is, but Lena Luthor is not. She's so far a good guy. Throughout the season, that gets tested.
What's the mom's name?
I forget.
Leslie, or it has to be something L.
It is an L, yeah. It's definitely an L, and I can't remember at this moment.
That's all right. Go ahead.
That's horrible show prep. That was like the one question I wouldn't know. So this season threw in a bunch of like specialty guests. Dean Cain was back. And Terry Hatcher was back, came in, not back, but she came. And Linda Carter was introduced as the president of the United States. And her best line of the entire series, she was in about 5 episodes. She lands and Supergirl sees Air Force One. And she's like, whoa, cool airplane. And then Linda Carter as the president says, oh, you should see my other one. Which is totally making a comment towards her invisible plane.
Nice.
Yeah, so they threw in some fun stuff like that, you know, and Superman was only in the first 2, but then they talked about him a lot throughout the rest of the season, and then he appears again at the very end in the final 2 episodes. They get away from the love story of Jimmy Olsen, and they get away from the love story of Wynn, and they promote this love story of Mon-El, who was from Daxam, and Daxam was a sister planet of Krypton. And it, too, was destroyed when Krypton blew up, just from the debris, but not to the degree that Krypton like blew up and killed almost everybody. So he survived, and now they push this entire love story between he and Kara, and that kind of drives the entire season behind their love story, and then a whole like alien, almost an alien registration act type thing, a la Marvel. They talk a lot about that, a lot about aliens coming out, and a lot about aliens, you know, revealing who they really are.
And which probably has double meaning as well, I'm sure.
Of course. Which was funny because it wasn't entirely needed, since her sister Maggie was dating and had her whole side storyline of dating a police officer, a female police officer, and, you know, and their relationship progressing and getting further along. So it wasn't needed to do the double meaning because you had an actual, you know, lesbian storyline happening. But either way, they definitely pushed that stuff a lot. This season, let's wrap up here. This season was good. They spent a lot of time pushing a little bit of political agendas here and there. They didn't beat you over the head with it, but there was, you know, it was subtle. Minus whenever you had, you know, lesbians making out and whatnot. Supergirl is good. Melissa Benoist is fantastic. She plays this part perfectly. She's still learning how to deal with her powers, how strong she can be, and she's getting stronger. There's a lot of, you know, I must save my city, and I think that's the whole Berlanti versus thing, is their city is what they're focused on. I don't know. I grew up in a small town, so I never once thought, man, I really got to save this town. I would just move. But either way.
Yeah, you're there for them, aren't you? What a superhero.
Yeah, right. So,
did you want to look at the crossovers or the musical stuff, or do you want to wait to the end and talk about that? How do you want to do that?
Yeah, let's put them all together at the end.
Okay. So do you want to hear why I've never gotten on the Supergirl train?
Please do.
First off, I'm not big on CBS, so when I saw it was going to be on CBS originally, the first season, I just didn't watch it. I don't really watch anything on CBS, and I figured it wouldn't last. So I kind of was behind the ball, and then when I heard they moved to CW, I just listened to you talk about it, and I really wasn't feeling the political angle and the like nostalgia stuff. I feel like they're kind of just trying to overdo it with the nostalgia stuff, where it would be just cheesy to me. So I don't know. I just could never get into it. And to me, Smallville, I was huge on Smallville, and I thought Supergirl was like the worst part of Smallville. So all those reasons kept me away from it. So
Yeah, I wish I could argue your reasons. The Smallville Supergirl, that's a valid reason. And ironically, she made a Laura Vandervoort, the actress, was on Supergirl season one as a villain. She played Brainiac 8. Yeah, I mean, moving to CW was the right move for that, for them. It didn't make sense on network, and it fit in perfectly with the other CW shows, and it allowed them to then do all these crossovers that we're going to chat about in a minute.
Yeah.
It's perfect for what's happening right now. Her and Wonder Woman are pushing this huge, huge... DC is very much about girl power stuff right now. They have comics, they have DVDs, pushing girl power, pushing their DC girl superhero thing that they have. They have a whole line of comics devoted just to the female characters, and not just, you know, Gotham City Sirens that just, you know, show the bad girls scantily clad. It's legitimate. My daughter's in on it. I know a couple other guys, their daughters are getting into comic book reading because of it. So it's,
and I'm all in on that. I'm all in on the girl power and all that. I just didn't feel like the political stuff, the pushing the gay stuff and all that, and you know, whatever. I just felt like it was too much for me to want.
And it's on. And you're not wrong. It's rough. Like, Linda Carter plays the president, and at one point we find out that she's actually an alien the entire time. And when she reveals herself to be an alien, Calista Flockhart's character is there, and she turns and she looks at her and she just says, "Ugh, well, at least tell me you're still a Democrat." And it's so it's they definitely push their side of the ball, which, you know,
well, yeah, and I know you had talked before with me, you know, personally off air about you didn't necessarily want to watch, or you wanted to watch it with your daughter, and then some of the stuff was kind of uncomfortable for you, even so.
Yeah,
even the stuff you don't necessarily want to talk about when you're just watching like a superhero show.
Yeah, I'm glad that's the combo off air that we had that you told, because there's some other.
Well, you can always edit it out.
No, that one's fine. My daughter's 8 watching it, you know, so it definitely, and she turned up and had a few questions towards this and that. I guess I just wasn't ready as a parent to then, you know, get into those combos just yet. Not that we're shying away from them, but.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you have a stance either way. I'm just saying that's not what you look for when you're watching a mindless superhero show. You don't want to have a conversation about that.
Agreed.
With your child or whatever, you know, so. Yeah. So things like that kept me away from the show. I
gotcha. I'd recommend catching up if you're bored and you need to. And anyone listening, you know, chime in. Send us take2podcast@gmail.com. Tell us what you think. And we're on Twitter @take2podcast. If you are pro or anti or indifferent on Supergirl, and, you know, try and convince Tony to catch up. You're not gonna, but give it a whirl. I'd like to see what you have to say.
You can try. I honestly thought about catching up over the summer last summer. But then now I just feel like after listening to you talk about it and I'm a little behind, I probably won't. Yeah, send me your hate mail and whatever. That's fine with me. Now, did you look at the ratings history on this?
I know they went up and down. I did.
Well, last season when they were on CBS, they debuted just shy of 13 mil. That was the debut.
Which was huge.
Yeah, it's pretty big. And then it settled in to about 8 most of the season, dropped down to about 6 at the end of the season.
Mm.
But then when it jumped to CW, premiere was only 3.
Woof.
CW just doesn't command that audience. So, I mean, they were still pretty consistent and ended with about 2 mil per episode.
Yeah.
So didn't lose too much, but that's just an interesting way to look at it, how much they of an audience they lost.
Now, how's that compared to, like, the other CW superheroes?
They're all around that 2 or below range. That's pretty much what standard CW draws.
Yeah, it's still considered an off-network.
Yeah. I think it takes below a mil to get canceled off CW.
Well, in wrapping Supergirl, I will say I was disappointed with the finale for three reasons. Number one, Dean Cain was on the show a lot, and then Terry Hatcher was on the show a lot, but never in the same episode. And as soon as you saw that both of them were booked for this season, any Lois and Clark fan from back in the day, which I was a big one of, got very excited to see the two of them. Dean Cain played Superman and Lois, and Terry Hatcher played Lois Lane on Lois and Clark. So anyone that was a fan of that, you know, was really hoping to see just a scene with the two of them together, and they never gave it to us.
The two of them. Missed opportunity.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, their characters, it would have been a stretch of somehow and something quick for them to interact in any way, but I feel like Berlanti does a great job of that. He does a great job of crossing over certain things and nostalgia, like you said, and I don't understand why they didn't put the two of them in a scene together. That was
Is there a chance for that next season or no?
Nope. Death was involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a non-spoiler show, then, I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah, we probably should have said that in the beginning, that we'll be giving spoilers on this show.
Now, any other... I know you're a big Superman guy, so I'm not super familiar with Supergirl, but do most of the same kind of characters and villains show up? Is there anybody cool that was on the show, or anybody that was way off for you that they thought you thought they did a bad job bringing on the show?
Yeah, no, she fought Mr. Mixelplick, which was interesting, and she fought the Music Meister, which, you know, we'll get into with the crossover, and... Mm-hmm. There's a couple other, you know, big names that they mentioned. The cliffhanger for next year was they showed some alien life form being shot off from Krypton with some type of scientist that will be the villain next year. That makes you think Doomsday automatically, but I hope not. I hope they do a different route. So, you know, they definitely mentioned some big time bad guys. My other issue I had with the finale was she fights Superman. That Luther's mom uses silver kryptonite, which then makes them control him. And Terry Hatcher also is a villain. She winds up supplying that. And so they wind up fighting. And they go toe-to-toe, fist fight, and Supergirl wins the fight.
What?
Yeah, straight up, too. And then they make a point of saying, like, I wasn't weakened. Superman says, I wasn't weakened by that kryptonite. You straight up beat me. And at that point, I was just done. I was like, wait, this just is not... It wouldn't happen. It just, you know.
See, you're not helping your cause here for me.
I know. I'm not. I can't. I mean, it's a fun show to watch. If your daughter was older, I'd be pushing you harder on it. You know, if your daughter is your son's age, because that's my daughter's age. We have a lot of fun with it, and she really enjoys the show. And that's what's fun for me, is to get to introduce her to comics through that.
Sure.
But other than that, it is hard for me to push you towards that show, because they do a lot of love stories. They talk a lot. There's a lot of dialogue, and a lot of it is, you know, when she's fighting a bad guy, her sister is in her ear and just like, you can do it. You girl power. You've got this. I've got faith in you. And that's every episode. So it's kind of like, all right, just let the girl go fight the bad guy type thing.
Yeah.
So that should wrap our Supergirl. We'll mention a little more crossover action, of course.
That moves us to the second series, which is The Flash, which was in its third season this year. And this one, when we talk about it, it kind of makes me feel nostalgic for the beginning of our show, because I feel like when we started the show, we talked a lot about Flash and Arrow, because they were just starting out with their seasons. And so it's kind of funny that we're, you know, now at the end of it, and it's something we haven't dealt with on the show yet. So it's kind of fun to look back. But this whole season focused on the Flash, Barry going back and trying to restore his family and what he changed in that process. And I feel like all of us maybe can agree we were into it the first so many episodes, and then the rest of the season just kind of dragged on. At least that's how I felt.
True.
I don't feel that it dragged on. I mean, I pretty much liked every episode. There might have been one or two that could have been a little bit better, but I don't know. Flash is pretty good for me, at least. As keeping, you know, they show the love story, but then they also have enough action to make you say, okay, it's not a bad show.
No, I don't think it's a bad show. I just feel like
an episode, like the episode that you watch is like,
yeah,
oh, this episode could have been better.
I just feel like we were all kind of looking forward to the Flashpoint idea when we heard it was coming, and I did feel like they pulled it off well, but I just felt like Brian and I talked again off air that by the ninth episode of the season, you knew basically the season finale, and we just had to drag on for the next 12 episodes to actually see it pay off.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It just felt like they could have moved it a little quicker along, a la S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham this year have both done a really good job of making kind of mini seasons within their season. I feel like something like The Flash could benefit from that, where they just have a villain, they work through it in like 8 or 9 episodes, and then you move on to another, you know, part for your next part of your season, and not just drag out Savitar for the whole season. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm spoiled by those other shows, but I just thought it dragged a little bit, and there were definitely some throwaway type episodes, but, you know, the Flashpoint idea was cool, the alternate timelines and the effects on it, and Savitar was the big bad of the season.
Big reveal.
Yeah, we also finally got to see Killer Frost, Caitlin, come to fruition, and, you know, what happens there.
Yeah. So what'd you think of the finale? Did you like how they did it, or the whole HR? And
I saw that coming. I saw that coming a mile away. And again, even couple episodes before that when they revealed Savitar, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. We kind of figured that.
Yeah, that whole storyline kind of had some holes in it because, you know, they had the whole, you know, he had Barry's memory, so he knew what was going to happen before it happened. And when they figured that out, you would think, okay, just don't tell Barry anything.
Yeah.
You know, just do something completely different. Don't tell Barry.
And then they totally hit you over the head. I think it was the second to last episode where they were using the transmogrifier. Because it was the second to last episode where you see Iris die at the end. And you're like, oh, did they just kill Iris? But they already showed you they were going to, the transmogrifier thing. Like, you knew that's what they were going to do.
Yeah. Well, and also the fact that, you know, HR, you know, they made this whole big thing to put her somewhere safe. And he just blurts out to Barry, oh, hey, yeah, she's over here with this guy. And, you know, it just seemed to me that they weren't trying very hard, you know, to keep the secrets away from Barry.
Yeah. I don't know if that was on purpose to pull off the ruse. Like, they were making it look like they accidentally slipped, but they really knew what they were doing.
I don't know. With HR, though, I don't think it was, because, you know, I think he really felt bad for, you know, I think he just came out, because that's the kind of person he is. He's just like, oh, hey, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have said that. You know, kind of like, did I do that kind of thing, you know? So yeah. I think he felt guilty. That's why, you know, he did what he did. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the funny thing for me is that you saw Iris die so many times through the season. They showed you, this is what's going to happen. We got to try and stop it. And it kind of happened a few times in different episodes where they were trying to go to the future and stop it. And they kept showing you, oh, no, still the same. We're still going to kill her off. And so once you did finally know, like, yeah, it was HR, I was like, man, like, I'm more upset that HR was killed.
Yeah, me too.
If it was Iris, like, I would have been all right losing Iris. I kind of was more sad about HR going.
Yeah, I was a little sad about that. But technically, shouldn't there have been, like, a second Flash Air because he had gone into the future? And so shouldn't the past Flash shown up there at the same time?
I don't know. Sometimes the way they explain things like that, it's like, yeah, I don't even know if I follow it, you know?
Yeah, they explain it so fast. It's just like,
oh,
yeah,
he's a time remnant and whatever. And, oh, okay.
See, that's where it all lost me. I didn't like last season how he created another thing just by running extra fast to create the remnant. And I didn't like that solution last season. And then it turns out that guy is still around and he's, you know, from the future, but he has to still yet to be created because he has to kill Iris to make Barry become... It was too much. It's too much, and I don't like that he can create a remnant and this time stuff, and the time travel stuff gets to be... I think they try and overthink it sometimes.
It gets too confusing to follow.
Yeah, it's simple. You know, you had an alternate 1985, and then you came back, and then Biff's president, and that's it. That's all you have to figure out.
Exactly. Don't overdo it. Yep.
But I felt they really missed the mark, I think, when they showed us them, you know, killing Iris, and that was at the mid-season break. And then you had 3 months-ish to figure it out. And they opened up with, okay, I saw all these things on the newspaper that were going to happen in the future. And if we can change any one of them, that might change the timeline to switch things around. So yeah. I thought, okay, each episode they're going to go after one of these little missions here and check them off one by one, trying to figure them out. And I think they did that for like an episode and a half, maybe, and then just got away from it. And I think I would have more enjoyed it if they did that. Like, they tried going after these little missions that all led up to the ending. But I don't know, maybe they lost interest in that idea early.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. For me, there were definitely some fun highlights of the season. I liked them bringing in HR. I thought HR was fun. I liked his character. I thought the girl who plays Gypsy, I thought she was pretty good. That was a nice, refreshing, and, you know, she wasn't on there a ton, but when they used her, it was well done, I thought.
Yeah.
I really liked bringing Julian in, just because I got a kick out of him being on the show, because it was Tom Felton from Harry Potter.
Sure.
Yeah. I like how they used
the Philosopher's Stone.
Philosopher's Stone, yeah, from Harry Potter.
Yeah, great.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's, like, long-term now part of the team. I guess so. I mean, you get that feeling from the way it ends, so.
I mean, yeah, I know they lost Caitlin, but, he didn't die. He didn't
see how long is that going to happen, though? Who knows? And who knows, with the way it ended, who knows what they're really going to do with that either, so.
True.
They kind of just leave you wondering where they're going with it. So.
It was deflating to me, too, that, you know, they get through all of it, and then everyone's going to be happy, and then all of a sudden, Barry's just like, oh, we need to replace someone. I'm out. Bye, guys. And
I feel like that was weird because it was like the whole time they're like all upset they're going to lose Iris, and they send out all the invitations and getting ready to get married. He's like, oh, I got to go. And everybody's like, oh, okay, bye.
Yeah.
You were a great son. And it was like, no big deal.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, is he going to get married to her? You know, so it didn't seem like they were so worried about him going back into the Speed Force.
Well, and they should have known that was coming because they already dealt with it earlier in the season when Wally got in the Speed Force and then they had to swap places with Jay.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew that was the case, like when somebody gets freed from the Force, whatever. Yeah. So it shouldn't have been a surprise. I don't know. It was weird.
Now, I'm assuming from what things that I've read, is this going to be like an upgrade for Flash? Is he going to come out with like a better knowledge of his powers, like a more grown up Flash?
I'm wondering if they're going to start us off with like Wally just being like the main thing for a little bit, like maybe an episode or two or whatever, you know?
Oh, I can't see them going more than two episodes without Grant Gustin.
Probably one at most.
Yeah, I felt like they cheated us out of Flashpoint. Like, I was expecting Flashpoint this season to be, you know, 6-7 episodes, and we got
two. It was only, like, one, right?
Yeah, it was one, and by the second one, it was all back, and then he was all emotional all season long about it.
Right, yeah. But they did point out some things they talked about in the crossover they had. I know we're going to talk about it later, but the audio tape they had of Barry saying, don't trust anybody, not even me, and it kind of explain that a little bit as to why you can't trust him because you don't know which one, you know, because of Flashpoint.
Right.
Yeah. We got to see the emo versions, which totally reminded me of Spider-Man 3.
Nah, stop it.
I don't know. No Spider-Man. What show are you talking
about? I do not know of that show you speak of.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I hope we get a lot of Wally West next year. Like, let's see him and his powers kind of grow, and he and Cisco maybe can make a good team. You know, Vibe and Kid Flash, which Kid Flash is one of the worst superhero names ever.
It's horrible. I'd be mad if I was named Kid Flash. I'm like, dude, just call me like the Black Flash, whatever. I don't care. I'd rather have that than Kid Flash. And I hope he's less mopey too. He always seems like he's just like, I don't know. He looks like he's drugged out all the time. He just looks like he's just like melancholy.
Hey, Wally?
Yeah. I mean, is it just me? Maybe it's just me. I don't know. He never seems to really. I don't know. It seems like somebody that, you know, just got his powers. You know, he'd be like more excited about it. And
well, he did like kind of lose them and get them back a couple times. He was
paralyzed
almost in one like episode, right? I mean, he's had a rough go of it. So, now I also wanted to mention, like, I don't know how you guys feel about some of the villains that come up in the show, but like Abracadabra, awful.
Yeah.
Music Meister, we'll talk about that in the crossover thing. I don't really care about Music Meister. That's stupid.
Abracadabra, that was Mark Hamill, right? Which one was Abracadabra?
No, I don't think Mark Hamill was on there this season, was he? Or was he very quickly?
He was the villain. He came on there a couple times.
He's Trickster, right?
Yeah, Trickster. He was Trickster. He was on real quick.
That's right. He was with Jay Garrick or whatever.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
No, but Abracadabra was like the focus of a whole episode of the season.
Because
Gypsy was coming after him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
I'm following.
It was weird. Because that was the episode where Caitlin basically becomes Killer Frost, was that episode.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some of the villains are weird and I just can't get into. But then I really like the ones that are off the wall, like Grodd and King Shark. I enjoy those guys more.
I think they're doing a really good job with Grodd.
Yeah, Grodd's been really good. Yeah, that like two episode thing they did there with Grodd where, you know, they had to go to Gorilla City and then come back. It was like a two episode thing and it was great. Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good. And they haven't had a much of with the shark.
King Shark,
yeah. I mean, they had the episode when he was in the water and they caught him, but now he's like working for the government as a trapped
in an Argus prison, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I thought they should have done more with him.
Yeah, but I'm impressed with what they have done, CGI-wise and stuff. I think it's good, and I've enjoyed it. But, I mean, overall, Arrow, good season, but slow, by all means.
You mean to say Flash?
Oh, Flash. What did I say, Arrow?
Yeah. I said Arrow.
Edit that.
You're so fast, you're getting ahead of yourself.
Yeah. Overall, Flash had a decent season.
It's Tony's own Flashpoint.
Yeah, a little slow in my opinion, though, so...
It's funny. Go ahead, Bo. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, there were some slow parts. And I do agree that I like how you said Gotham, and you know, they have their own like mini series within the series. You know, him fight. I think, you know, each episode should be him fighting somebody. Maybe two episodes fighting somebody, and not just like going after one guy. You know, I kind of like the idea of him fighting different people. I think the first season, that's what it was for him. He was just going after different metahumans.
Right.
Yeah. So each episode was a new metahuman.
Yeah, I don't know. Did we just get spoiled with the first like two seasons? They were pretty good, so this is just kind of a slump season for them, you know.
All true, all true. It's funny, throughout the season I kept promoting it as, you know, loving it and this and that, and then looking back on it, it's kind of eh. And then it just it wrapped it predictable, like you said.
Yeah.
It wrapped it very predictable, and then very just kind of like, oh, all right. That, like, I'm not even like looking forward to the cliffhanger next year. Like, holy cow, is he gonna get out of Speed Force or?
Yeah, it's like you could almost end the show there, and I'd be like, all right, cool, I'm done with Flash.
Yeah, Iris is single. Give her a call.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, rest in
peace, HR. I think they could have done the whole Speed Force thing a little bit more mysterious. It seemed like he was like, oh, I gotta go. You know, if they would have come and like snatched him up, or like, you know, I don't know. It seemed like it could have been a little bit better. Him going. Being forced to go back into the Speed Force.
Well, he saw his mom. Yeah, that's all he needed. It wasn't forcing. Yeah.
Freaking mama's boy.
I know, well, man, little baby.
So, but it's funny you say that. You know, Flash, we were big on early on, and then now we're kind of low on it. I felt like it was the opposite way with Arrow.
Exactly.
I felt like early in the season we were kind of like, oh, really? Like Arrow, come on, you got to do better than this. Like. We're in our fifth season. You're still doing all these flashbacks. It was just kind of, we were all tired of it. But then, by the same token, we loved the finale. I did, at least. I thought they did a great job at the finale.
Yeah,
minus the easily fixed, you know, cliffhanger that they could do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. which I'm sure they will.
Yeah, we'll come back around to it. I feel like that cliffhanger that they left you with, they'll easily be like, oh, you know, let's recap the season first and then come back. But other than that, you're absolutely right. Like, it kind of meandered all season long, and after a pretty poor season four, it wasn't hitting well, and nothing was really picking things back up. I think everyone just grew tired of the flashbacks. I think
and it sounds like they heard our woes on that one, because right. They've decided not to do it next year, right?
Yeah, and everyone cheered as soon as they made that announcement. I think everyone was just like, good. We're done with it. It was awesome the first three seasons. They did it really well, but, you know, they bring in Drago from Rocky IV, and it's kind of weird. And
yeah, which, I mean, supposedly he was gone for 5 years. This is five seasons of the show. It makes sense to drop it.
Yeah.
You know, you've covered everything that you could have with these flashbacks. So, and Drago being on the show, what did he play? Constantine Kovar, wasn't that his name?
Right.
I don't know if you guys picked up on it, but the couple fight scenes he had were awful.
Very slow.
They were so obvious that it was a stand-in. The dude was like 20 years younger, and like, I mean, it was. If you go back and watch it, it's so obvious and so bad. They did a terrible job with the stand-in on that.
Yeah,
you know, Drago didn't age very well, so you know.
No, because you see him. You see him start the fight, and you know they're close in, and he's kind of lumbering to throw these punches, or whatever. And then the next scene, they cut like a further shot, and it's this dude like all over the place, and he's like smaller and younger, and I'm like, it's so obvious. I don't know. Really bothered me. I don't know. But anyways, the big focus of Arrow Season 5 was Oliver rebuilding his team, if you will. Everybody that was previously on his team has kind of been gone, died, or said they're done. What, Diggle went off and joined the army again? I mean, there was all sorts of weird shit going on here. So he's rebuilding his team. He recruits Renee, who's Wild Dog. He gets Curtis, who's Mr. Terrific. Am I getting that right?
Is it Terrific or Fantastic? I can never remember.
I think it's Terrific. I always say
it's
wrong.
Terrific. Yeah, I think Fantastic is Marvel. Come on.
Yes.
And our co-host Nick just agreed to go to the Baltimore Con as Mr. Terrific.
Oh, he'd make a great Terrific, yeah.
He'd be perfect.
Yeah. And then, as we said, we do the flashback sequence, you know, every episode, basically. What, Oliver goes to Russia and joins a gang, the Bratva? Like, how the hell does he go to Russia? Like, this is exactly why the flashbacks needed to stop. Like, he was supposed to be on Leon U, but instead he's joining a gang in Russia. Like, it was just distracting and stupid.
How long did he technically spend on Leon U? Like, 2 weeks?
It didn't seem that long, yeah. Because he was working with Waller for on the one season too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. All when he was in Japan or China and training.
And how's nobody seeing him?
Right.
Yeah. Anyway. All over the place with that stuff. But anyways, and then the big bad of the season was Adrian Chase / Prometheus, which I actually thought they did a decent job not letting you know who he was right away and kind of trying to throw you off. Mm-hmm. I think I called it early on. Yeah. Will you confirm that, Brian? You remember our discussion of that?
You did, because I was thinking it was other people. I was actually thinking it might have been the reporter, the girl that he was hooking up with.
Sure. Well, and they threw you off with Quentin the one episode, too. Remember, they tried to make you think it was him. He had, like, the cut on his arm and woke up drunk, and he had the star. And you're like, oh, shit, is it Quentin? Like,
yeah. He was taking the Mirakuru.
Yeah. Now, they did drop a kind of a little bit of a ball here with, what was it, Vigilante. They had Vigilante on the season two. And then he just kind of went by the wayside. Like, he escaped, and then we never really heard anything of what happened with him. He was never caught. He was never killed. He just kind of, like, disappeared. Yeah, is he going to come back around or what?
There's articles out, I think, this week. I don't know if you sent them or...
I sent the one, yeah.
Of where is he?
Yeah, they just kind of let that thread go. So I don't know if that was like, oh, we used him to kind of like confuse the Prometheus thing a little bit and then it was done, but he still could come back, really.
Right.
Right. So I don't know, I thought that was interesting, but the season definitely got better as it went, in my opinion. I feel like Prometheus as a villain made it a little darker, and I think that was cool. And Arrow has always been the darker of the shows, and I think they kind of even pushed that envelope a little bit more this season. It was definitely more violent with Prometheus, and it was cool. I didn't necessarily like the side characters that Arrow gets on his team. Like, right. I could care less about Wild Dog or Ragman and whatever. Interesting side note, I didn't realize that the 100th episode was this season. The crossover event was actually the 100th episode. It seems like, I don't know. I didn't think it was on that long, but I guess so. What else did they do that was kind of interesting this season? They brought on, you know, the fake Laurel, if you will, the Laurel from Earth 2, and did that. That was kind of interesting the way they did that. And then they also went and found her replacement, which I wasn't big on her replacement. What about you?
Yeah, see, this is where it ended my real interest in the show, because one was Wild Dog, and then two was this chick, where they needed someone to replace Black Canary, and then magically they find one city over someone who is identical in powers and identical in fighting stance, and they she was there the entire time. Like, why didn't they find her 4 years ago? She would have been better than Laurel.
Yeah, weird.
And then with Wild Dog, I didn't like, because they spent 3 seasons, you know, talking about killing and never killing and not wanting to kill. And finally, Arrow's like, all right, I'm not killing anymore. I'm done killing. I'm done being a murderer. And then he recruits a guy that does nothing but use guns the entire time.
Yeah, well, and then they spent an entire episode on Wild Dog's backstory / gun control rights, which to me was an awful episode. Very heavy-handed political crap, and that's not what I'm watching these shows for.
Yeah.
And that almost made me turn off the whole rest of the season. I was like, really? Like, I just don't care. That was smack in the middle. It was episode 13 of the season. It was just like, oh, really? Like, if you did have anything going, you just ruined it for me.
And they didn't necessarily take one side or the other. They just, like, let the conversation go out. It's kind of like, we want to really bring this up, but we don't want to take one side because then we know we'll lose some viewers. So we'll just kind of promote it both ways, but not. And it was a waste of an episode. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, I mean, we did like the season finale. Once they got to that point, you found out who Prometheus was, and they kind of worked out these like dad issues that they both have, if you will. I did like the season finale, and I thought that was cool. They brought it back to Lian Yu, and they kind of mirrored, what was it, season one or two, where they ended it that way, where he had to choose, you know, his family was all on Lian Yu and all that. It was very similar to one of the other season finales. I'm not sure if it was one or two, but I don't know. I liked it. I liked getting everybody there and kind of closing that book on Lian Yu and the way they left it hanging. You know, you don't know who's alive, who's dead going into the next season. So yeah.
That is how you do a season finale.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's coming back. So
the only thing I can say is we do Well, supposedly we know that Malcolm Merlyn will not be back. John Barrowman has come out and said he's done with all these shows, and they basically killed him off in this Arrow finale, so you will not see him again, according to him. So he's decided, I think, to move on to other things.
And his was an off-screen death. He's, you know, standing on a landmine, and everybody gets away, and then just as he comes out of picture, you see an explosion, so you have to assume that he died, but it's definitely open. And that's my only thing with the finale is it would be an easily fixable, you know, he looks back and just sees the entire island blow up and everybody's dead, but you don't see a single person die and you don't see them for 5 minutes when they're all trying to get off the island. So they can very, very easily say, oh, nope, everybody was on inside, you know, Argus's bunker underneath, everybody's alive. Which they will do, but I would like to see if someone dies, like if they kill one of them off.
Yeah, and the only one we know for sure that didn't die is William, because he's on the boat.
Exactly.
With him. Which I'm interested to see how they do that next season. Like, do they have William be around more? Because who knows, maybe his mom died on the island.
Right.
Maybe Oliver will have to take care of him now.
You know? Oh, and he starts training him.
Mm. I'm interested. That might be a cool twist for next season, I think. The only person I really do hope that they killed off was that Harkness, whatever, boomerang guy, because he sucks. So I'm glad that if Malcolm Merlyn went out and he took that dude out with him, that's cool. Good job.
When they showed him in the finale, I honestly didn't remember him.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? I'm kind of, as cool as it was to have Deathstroke back, I'm kind of tired on that character. Like, I thought they did such a good job of him the first time around.
Yeah.
That they shouldn't have brought him back.
Yeah. If this ends it where he doesn't come back next season, then cool. It worked. Yeah. It was cool. But like, if this opens it up to another whole season of him, then I'm with you. No thanks.
Or even the Al Ghuls. Like, we've done the Al Ghuls to death.
Right.
And now we're going to get Roz on Gotham. So it's like kind of Al Ghuled out. You know? I want no more Ghoul.
No more Ghoul.
No more Ghoul for you.
No more Ghoul.
Now, the one interesting episode of the season I wanted to mention was Human Target. Did you guys remember that one where they brought on that character? Did you watch that show at all when that show was on?
I remember the episode, but I never watched that show.
Okay, I thought it was a fun show. I believe it was on Fox, but they did a whole show of Human Target, which I thought was fun.
Huh.
And I thought it was cool that they brought the character on Arrow, so... I don't know. Just wanted to mention Christopher Chance, kind of a cool character and a cool concept. So, you guys don't remember it, I guess.
I don't at all. Yeah.
Does not ring a bell.
Well, I'm trying to think, because you know they've kind of done that before with Arrow bringing on like Constantine, like another character that's been on a show that got canceled.
Right.
And then they bring him on Arrow, so I thought it was cool that they did that as well with the Christopher Chance character. It was a different actor that played him on Arrow.
Okay.
Then was in the actual show. Like I said, it was different network and everything and whatever. But if you get a chance, go back and check out Human Target. I'm sure you can find it somewhere. It was a fun show. Moving ahead, do we want to talk Legends, or am I the only one that talks Legends? You guys want to take a nap now, or?
I stay up and listen.
Well, that's very nice of you.
Okay. You're the best.
I'd like to give you my full time and attention.
Okay. Well, since I'm the only one here that talks Legends or watches Legends, I was a big fan of this season. It's been done for about a month to 6 weeks already. For whatever reason, they give it a shorter season. They only give it 17 episodes as opposed to 22, 23 like these other shows get. But the first season was fun, but it wasn't quite great. I felt like this season was even better. They refreshed a couple of the characters, got rid of a couple, brought on a new couple, and I think that was awesome. It keeps it, like I said, fresh. It keeps you wanting to learn about these new characters, what their powers are and what their, you know, timelines entail and all that. And they did a really good job with the second season of Legends. And they brought on what they called the Legion of Doom. They brought on Damian Dark. They brought on Malcolm Merlyn. They brought on Eobard Thawne. And those were your big villains for the season. And I thought that was really cool that they tied in the other villains from the other Arrowverse shows and kind of made them the focus of this show, which it really worked well. So they also... I don't know. Did you guys watch it at all or no?
No, I haven't seen it. The only episode I've ever seen was the crossover one.
Same here.
And you never watched any of the first season or anything?
Nothing.
Okay.
Sorry.
You said Thawne was a bad guy. You talking about the one that was from Flash?
Yeah, you wrote Thawne.
Was he a speedster?
Yeah, he was like the villain of the first season, right?
Oh, okay.
On Flash, yeah.
Very cool. No, I didn't see that. I may have to go check that out.
Yeah, so they bring him, Malcolm Merlyn, and Damian Dark on to Legends, and they call them the Legion of Doom, which is a cool name. But yeah, so they're the focus of the season, the big bad guys. They're trying to get this Spear of Destiny that has the ability to rewrite reality, and they want to change it all, whatever. But in the meantime, the Legends, the concept of the show is that they go back in time to different periods, and they can change things in history as needed, and fix problems and whatever. So it's kind of fun because then you get, you know, one episode they're in feudal Japan, and then another episode they're in the Civil War, and then they're in the 80s, and then they're in the 1870s in Colorado. So it's like they bounce all over the place, and it gives them the chance to kind of, I don't know, just have fun with it, be in the period, and some of the characters do well. Like Brandon Routh shines in all those episodes because he is kind of like a nerdy character anyways. I don't know if you remember him from Arrow. He was on there as the Atom. He's playing the same character from the Arrow on the show, and
he was hooking up with Felicity on Arrow.
Yeah, so he's on this show, and he's just real nerdy. So it's like they go and they do these different eras, and he's always like all for it. Like, oh, I wanted to be in the Old West and whatever, and, you know. And they play it up, and they get in costumes and all that, and it's fun if you're just going into it for a fun hour where you can just, you know, relax and enjoy it. It's not anything deep and amazing, but it's just a fun show to watch, and I try and get everybody to watch it because I think it's really the best of the three that I watch. You know, Flash was a little slow. Arrow didn't get good till the end. Legends was just consistently fun throughout, and I like that for what it's worth, you know.
And I'm actually surprised I didn't watch it because I do like time travel type shows, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's similar. Now, did you watch Timeless?
I did.
Similar to that. Same kind of thing where they jump around different times.
Now, do they... What's the reason for them jumping around? Is it like random, like Quantum Leap, or do they know where they're going?
It depends on the mission of the season. Like last season, they were trying to save somebody, and it's, you know, each time they went somewhere to fix some problem in history to try and save somebody or whatever. So like in the one episode, they did this a couple times this season. They went back to different times, and they encounter kind of people from popular culture too, like George Lucas was on the show.
What?
Like not actual George Lucas, but they had like 1967 George Lucas. They had to like make sure that he went to film school and create Star Wars and these things, and it was just kind of silly the way they did it, but it's fun to watch, especially if you're a nerd and you catch all this stuff. It's just enjoyable, you know. Like I said, it's not deep, it's not dark, but it's just fun.
So
good characters. Like I said, they brought on a few new ones this year, got rid of a couple other ones. I hope they do the same thing next year because I think it does keep it fresh and it keeps you wanting to watch. So I enjoy it. I know Roy was big on it when they went back to Camelot. There was a whole episode of that. So,
they still couldn't help the movie Arthur, huh?
No. The 1 hour, or, you know, 42 minutes, 42 minutes with commercials was probably better than the Arthur movie that they did. But yeah, but I mean, in this season too, they went back and they meet the JSA, the Justice Society of America. So it's like the older comic book heroes. So you're getting tons of characters in the show too. You know, it's not just Flash or Arrow with his cheap knockoff guys, you know, Wild Dog and whatever. You're getting like famous characters from the comics in these episodes, and I think it's cool.
Wow.
Probably people you wouldn't get on their own shows or their own movies if it wasn't for this show.
Yeah, do they run into themselves, like, you know, like time version of themselves?
They did that in like the season finale, which to me did get a little weird when they did that. It wasn't quite as good, I will say, because they were like kind of almost fighting against their future selves in a way. Like, it's hard to describe unless you saw the season, because like I said, all the time travel stuff, they got that Spear of Destiny, they rewrite reality, so then the bad guys kind of become in control, if you will. Like, Earbud Thawne becomes this big, like, CEO. I think he becomes the CEO of Star Labs. Like, they basically rewrite all these storylines that you know from the comics and stuff. And then the Legends need to go back in time to prevent the original Legends from doing something, you know. So they do get into that a little bit.
Okay.
But I think it's more like a Back to the Future thing, where it's like, if you interfere with yourself. That's like against the rules.
You know? So they're doing their own flashpoints pretty much. They're just changing everything.
Yeah, like I said, it's just a fun show. It's all over the place a little bit, but I think that's one of its strengths. Each week you're tuning in and you're seeing a different period, and it's just fun. I don't know. I have a lot of fun watching it. So the end of the season, though, they leave you with – they think that they fix the problem from the Spear of Destiny, and they take these three guys and they put them back into their timelines where they belong. They don't kill them or arrest them or anything, but they – put them back into their timelines where they belong and let them live out their destinies, right? And they're like, oh, we succeeded our mission, let's go, you know? And the next thing they do, they land, it's 2017, they get out, they're supposed to be in L.A., there's buildings from all different periods of history, there's dinosaurs roaming the street, so basically they have ruined the time, like, time and history. They've screwed everything up somehow. So now next season they're going to have to figure out what they did wrong and go back and fix it. So there's definitely, like, consequences to their actions, if you will. But
I think I may have to binge that show.
Yeah, like I said, this was only a second season, and they got, you know, 17 episodes this season. I think it was about the same last season. So it's fun. It's definitely fun. There's some cute, nerdy nods in there. They had J.R.R. Tolkien in an episode, too. Like, just silly stuff, but it works, and it's just a fun episode, you know, for your time. So, and then they were able to crossover with the Arrow and Flash and Supergirl and all that, and that makes it that much cooler too. So,
yeah.
So I really enjoy the show. For my money, it's the best of the four. It's just the most enjoyable and most consistent. So,
wowzers, Bo, which one's your fave?
You know what? I haven't seen Legends, but the way he's explaining it with time travel and everything, I might like that show. But as of right now, Flash is my favorite one.
Yeah, it's tough. After season three, I was ready to put Arrow in, like, my top five, like, all time of, like, all my favorite shows ever. But the last two seasons were just not so great, so.
Yeah. Well, the first two seasons were fantastic. I mean, I loved the flashbacks, and, you know, the storylines were great. I mean, him trying to make a mark in the city, going after people in his dad's book. I mean, it was good. He was killing people. It was great. It was dark. And then it kind of got away from the killing people, and I don't know, it just got political and got boring after that. It kind of kept me away from it a little bit, but, you know, I catch pieces of it here and there, especially to catch up when they do a crossover, just so I know who's who and what's going on.
So before we start towards wrapping up, we'll talk the crossover, then we'll wrap up. Take2podcast@gmail.com. At Take Two Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook. You can find us, Take Two Podcast page. And we really look forward to all of your ratings and reviews, especially. It really does help out our show if you can just take 2 seconds on iTunes to give us a quick review and a rating. It is very much so appreciated. We're also on Podomatic and Stitcher. You can follow us in both of those places as well. But honestly, send us your thoughts and emails and your tweets. To get the conversation going a little bit, let us know which CW show is your favorite, which one's your least favorite, what you'd like to see going forward with all of the shows. And also check out our blog. We'll have each one of these shows. Legends is already written up, but the other ones we'll have written up. Just something quick, kind of recapping the entire seasons and the entire CW on take2podcast.com. So the crossover, this big, huge, hyped event that they talked about for over 6 weeks, right? Something like that. All four shows are going to cross over. We are all curious, how are they going to do it? Why are they going to do it? How are they going to mix the different worlds? Because Supergirl is on a different Earth than Flash and Arrow are, and Legends. What Earth are they on? Any Earth they want, or?
I think they're just on regular Earth. I don't think they've ever really dealt with the different.
Okay. Good.
They're in the Flash's Earth.
Yeah, because those characters were on Flash and Arrow. And that's the cool thing is, like, those two shows, Flash and Arrow, are more intertwined than the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then Legends is made up of characters that were on those shows. So those three kind of all share that same flow, if you will. Because they did a crossover last year before Supergirl was part of it.
Right.
So this year was kind of like, well, like you said, how are they going to bring Supergirl into the mix? Which I was a little let down by the way that they did, but go ahead.
We were talking about the crossover. Now, they crossed over all four shows, right?
Yeah, starting kind of with Supergirl.
Supergirl wasn't really a crossover except like for the very end of the show, and they really didn't I mean, exactly. It was almost like it was false advertising for Supergirl to be a crossover.
100%.
You know, the other ones legitimately had the crossover, but and she was in the other ones, but for her to call her show part of the crossover was a little stretch.
But that's another thing where they missed an opportunity. I would have watched the show if I would have had to, but I didn't need to. I didn't need to. Everything was on the other episode, so you didn't get me to watch it.
Yeah. Actually, you're right. That could have definitely got you at least into seeing the show.
Mm-hmm.
So this four-way crossover was the Dominators are invading Earth. Then these random aliens that they just invented. And the only way to defeat them is if they can get everybody together and on the same page. And that was what kind of... That was the basic storyline that they used for them to cross over. Like you said, Supergirl didn't need to be part of it. Then we went to Flash, and that gave us the whole storyline of what's going to happen and who's going to be on whose team and who can trust whom. Then we get to the Arrow, and I thought the Arrow, and I think, Tony, you agree, was the best of the four episodes.
Yeah, it was cool the way that they did it. It was like alternate reality. The right. Dominators were controlling them, whatever. I thought it was fun.
Right. They were like, they were stuck on the ship, but they were living their lives normally.
You had Laurel back. Oliver was going to marry her. His parents were alive. All that stuff, and it was just cool the way they did it, and the way that they revealed how they were really under control of the aliens. So,
yeah, it was more of a mental issue. They had to fight them, you know, mentally to get out of their trap and such. And then that led us to Legends, which then was awesome because that just got everybody together, and it was the final fight scene. So that was what you're most amped up for.
Yeah, I mean, overall, it was fun. It was a fun crossover. I think next year they should try and do more with the Supergirl episode, make it true crossover.
Agreed.
But it was fun, and I hope they, and I know they're planning another one for the next season, so I hope they continue to do it.
Yeah, because that wasn't the only crossover that they did with these that was new. Besides, like you said, Arrow and Flash, they cross over so easily.
Well, they can just mention stuff in the episode. Right, oh, Felicity's right. going to text me this Thanks. Information and whatever.
And they've done that a few times.
Yeah,
that's
unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know it. And the people that watch Flash watch Arrow, so it's just...
Right, and the towns are, like, right next to each other.
Yeah, it works.
But I'm wondering how, you know, because Supergirl's on a different planet, or different Earth, not necessarily a planet, but mm-hmm. a different Earth with Superman. Superman's not even a part of Flash's Earth.
Correct.
So... You know, and so it makes you wonder where's like the rest of the Justice is. Batman is he going to be on Supergirl's Earth?
Where's the rest of the Justices? That's what I always say.
Where's the rest of the Justices? I like that. I'm with you on that one. But I was reading somewhere where the actor that plays Bruce Wayne in Gotham, I think I was talking about this earlier. They were saying that he could see them doing a crossover with Arrow and Flash and Supergirl. Because of the time travel stuff, you know, he's a younger Bruce Wayne, so he's not, you know, Batman yet. But they could come in and be like, you know, have something to do with him as a young kid, which would be kind of cool. It'd be kind of, I don't know, it's a whole different network, and they probably will never do it.
No,
but it'd be kind of good. Kind of good to you know, throw Batman a little bit in there.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it intertwined somehow. Who knows, you know, I mean, the way Gotham plays right now, you could kind of fit it on any of the other shows without having to worry about that. Supergirl had to be on a different Earth because if she and Superman had already existed, it would have been mentioned in Arrow season 1, episode 2, you know, like it wouldn't have been a big deal on Flash episode 2 when they have all these metas and how they got created because they would have already had superheroes. So I mean, that's the only part that they're going to run into a little bit of trouble on. I think that's something Supergirl runs into trouble on when she's fighting certain bad guys, is kind of like, why didn't you just call Superman for this? Like, if you needed extra help, then just call your cousin.
But they always,
Why not bring him into the Flash and Arrow?
Well, they always make her out to be like, I don't want to do it with him. I want to do it myself. You know, that's how they kind of cover that. You know, they always emails her saying, hey, you doing okay? And, you know, she's back at, oh, yeah, I'm doing okay, but I want to do it myself. Yeah. So that's kind of how she gets away from, you know, Superman coming to help all the time. You know, girl power.
It would be awesome, though, to get to let him next year be on a crossover and have him meet Flash and Arrow, you know, especially Flash with Justice League stuff and mention that to some degree. That would actually be pretty cool.
They could do it just with him as young Bruce and not being Batman, and it would just be fun for that. Or even just bring some of those other bad guys in here or there. You know, it could be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That's crazy.
What's the dude's name that plays Arrow? His character, or the actor?
Stephen Amell?
Yeah. Didn't he mention something about wanting to do a movie?
Well, he's always been mad, like salty, that they're not going to do an Arrow movie, and if they do, it won't be with him. But he wants it to be with him.
I think it should be with him. I think he's played a good Arrow.
Yeah. But they've already proven they're not going to go that route because they've recast Flash. It probably will be the right call. I like Grant Gustin for what it's worth on the show, but I think the film version will go in that little bit different direction to fit with the Justice League, and a different actor will do it better.
I think it would be, if you actually think about it, it wouldn't be very smart for the film people to align themselves with what the TV stuff, because you have 4 to 5 seasons already of these storylines.
So yeah, you're just going to create plot holes because you've already got stuff established.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, they could never do Flashpoint again, which would be huge in the films and stuff, because it's already been done. So it's a bummer because we enjoy these characters and we already have them established on TV. And now we're going to have to just accept other people playing them in the theater. Yeah. So that, yes, I agree, that is a bummer to do, but it makes sense for the film, for the DCEU, to not involve them in that way.
Sure.
Right. And plus, you know, the movie version, they're supposed to be already established. You know, they're already done their thing, been the heroes and everything like that. And whereas the TV version, they're kind of just starting out. You know, it's just them. So I can see where it's not going to work out, you know, using these actors in the movie. Or did you guys already say that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Oh. Sorry. Good morning. Sorry.
Now, Brian, did you want to talk about that musical crossover between Flash and Supergirl?
I mean, I think I enjoyed it more than you did. I think Craig really enjoyed it.
I liked it. I thought it was
good. Did you?
I like the one original song that the girl, was her name Rachel? I'm spacing on her last name. She wrote the song.
Bloom? Super Friends. Rachel Bloom?
Yeah, Rachel Bloom. Yeah. She wrote the song Super Friends. I thought that song was great.
At times like these, when life is getting me down, and the world seems like it's gonna end.
Ship.
There's at least one power that we both still have.
You got it.
And that's the power of
friendship.
I thought you had that, Tony. You hit the fringe.
I was waiting for that to play out. But yeah, it was a fun song. It was funny. Some of the other songs were just covers, which, I don't know, it was just cheesy to me. Really, they were really like, who sings on all these shows? Let's get them on this one. Like, they were just...
And apparently it's all boys.
Yeah, it was just like...
Melissa was the only one that could sing. The rest of it was just all males.
Let's get Joe and Stein over here because they can sing, okay?
Yeah.
How are we going to get them? Okay, we'll make them dads, but they're gay dads. So that way we can just make up for them both being in the same room together.
Right. Yeah, that was a little weird.
And then even like the Music Meister thing, like the villain was just trying to get them to look at their love. Like that was the point of the episode. Like,
I think it was just to look at who you have and don't question it, that kind of thing. It's like,
I'll be honest, on Supergirl,
I could have just listened to Crosby, Stills, and Nash for that. You can't be with the one you love the one you're with. You know what I mean?
On Supergirl, up to that point, like, she had a relationship with Mon-El. Like, there was a relationship there. But it wasn't overwhelming, I felt, to that point in the season. And then it felt like the whole crux of having Music Meister there, not only to get another Glee cast member on the show, but also just to make them realize that they are in love and help them make up, both Iris and Barry, and then Supergirl and Mon-El. And I was kind of thinking, like, well... They've been out on like 2 dates. Why do they need to like forgive each other and get back together? And then that spurned the rest of the season where they're just inseparable. They desperately wanted to do a musical episode and they found a way and they just pushed it. And it was fun. I did enjoy it. But if you think about what it was all about, it was kind of cheese.
Yeah, we had talked about that before. Anytime they really do these crossovers, it doesn't advance the main storyline of the season. Really at all. They're really just standalone episodes, and if you skipped it, you wouldn't have really missed anything.
Yeah.
So, whatever. It's fun. I'm glad that they did it, I guess. Good for them, but I'm good.
I want more crossovers next year, but I think I'm okay on the musical crossovers.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see Stephen Amell singing anytime soon.
We'll see him maybe in some obstacle courses.
Yeah, salmon ladder all day.
Yeah, well, you know, that's how he trains his arrow, you know.
Oh, training the arrow.
Training the arrow.
Did you say trains his arrow?
Training. Yeah, that's like the Pornhub version of arrow.
Touch my quill. I don't know about that.
Anything else to mention, guys, about going ahead for the next season?
Wait, is it a quill or a quiver?
It's a quiver.
Quiver. Yeah. Quiver.
Peter.
His last name's Quill.
Bo touches his Peter Quill.
That's Guardians is Peter
quite
Quill.
Quite often. and don't throw me, your sex life is like the Flash. Very fast.
Oh, right. Okay. All right.
Boom!
Boom. I think mine's more like the Thursday show. Legends!
On that note, everybody, going forward next year, Arrow, I'll say that I want zero flashbacks. I want to move forward. I want them to decide what's up with Felicity, because I've never been a fan of Felicity and Arrow being together.
Really?
Yeah, because in the comics he's with Laura, he's with Dinah,
but that ship's already sailed, and I didn't like Felicity with Billy Malone. Like, that was stupid.
Yeah, I was glad he died. But pick one. I will say, if Felicity becomes a superhero in any way, they've teased it, I feel, a couple of times. I will not be happy. Like, they just...
They did it in the crossover, didn't they? Was that the crossover? Or no, that was Legends. That was Legends with the alternate reality. They had Felicity as a superhero.
Yeah.
Then she got killed right away.
It was bad enough that they made Mr. Terrific a superhero. I thought that was horrible, because the guy's an IT nerd, and then magically the Arrow becomes a trainer that can make people superheroes. I didn't... You know, let's get realistic. So
it's all about the salmon ladder.
Let's see. Flash, who knows? It could be. I'm glad that they said there won't be a speedster as a villain next year. Supergirl.
Well, they teased the villain a little bit, didn't they? DeVos or something? They mentioned the villain like twice in the season, and people are like, "Who's that?"
Mm.
They're like, "Oh, you don't know him yet," or whatever.
Oh,
didn't you guys catch that?
I missed it.
Let me look it up real quick and get you the appropriate information. But they did tease it at least twice. They mentioned the name, like Emo Barry or whatever mentioned him.
All right. So while you look it up, Bo and I just have to talk to each other?
Yeah, talk about Supergirl garbage.
But yeah, I hope they do more crossovers. Definitely. And they don't have to be like big episode, you know, like, you know, blockbuster events. They can just be, you know, like, you know, quick, you know, one goes to the other show, one goes to the other show. And it doesn't have to be a huge event.
I'm sorry, I misquoted his name. I think I was thinking of our Secretary of Education. She's DeVos. It's DeVoe.
DeVoe. Yeah, I know DeVoe.
Yeah, Belle Biv.
Now you know.
There, but DeVoe, no, DeVoe will be there, not Belle and Biv.
Does she have a big butt and a smile? Or,
you can't trust him. Can't trust him.
Can't trust him, no.
So, DeVoe, also known as The Thinker, is supposed to be the main villain of season 4, at least that's what online boards are saying. They mentioned his name twice when talking to Future Barry and Savitar in the last couple episodes of the season. So,
got it.
We'll see if that happens, I guess.
And then Legends, what did that lead to? Anything, or it'll just be wide open next year?
Like I said, they're going to have to fix the timeline. That's kind of where they left it. Like, everything was screwed up. You got dinosaurs living in L.A. 2017, so they got to fix something. They don't really... I don't know. I mean, they had main villains, but I don't know. They haven't set that up, like, giving you any hint to who will be a villain. But they definitely need to fix whatever they did wrong to the timeline. So, we will see. I hope that they change the characters a little bit around. That's my one thing, because they did it from season 1 to 2 and it worked well. So we'll see what they do. I mean, I could see a couple of those characters going by the wayside. Excited to see where they're all going, honestly. Awesome. I still won't watch Supergirl, but I'm in for all of them.
You're missing out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're missing out on Legends. Same thing. You watch Legends.
Okay, look, we'll watch Legends if you watch Supergirl.
I'll tell you that I watched Supergirl, but I'll just read the synopses of the episodes.
We're going to ask you to quote.
That's fine. That's fine. I'll figure it out. I can Google with the best of them.
Take two. Sure. Take2Podcast.com is our blog. We'll have a bunch of write-ups on all the CW shows coming up very shortly, if not by the time you're listening to this. So go check that out. You'll find not only our CW write-ups, but you'll find all of our movie and television reviews that we've been touching lately. So much more is on there. At Take2Podcast in the Twitter. Hit us up on there. That is your fastest and most direct way to interact with us. Followed up by Facebook. We are Take2Podcast on Facebook. And then finally, our email is take2podcast@gmail.com. It is easy to remember. Take two is spelled T-O-O, just in case.
It's true, yeah.
But either way, we are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We're on Podomatic. Once again, folks, it really helps us out. A rating, a review. Tell us what you think, even if it's not a great one. Jump on there and give us a quick rating and a review. And as always, let us know who your favorite host is. And also let us know who your favorite hostess is.
No, he's the host with the hostess. You're the host with the hostess.
Yes.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
But I still like the hostess. I got it right away. I was like, Twinkies, cupcakes.
I actually never liked Twinkies.
You know, it's one of those things where I didn't really like it, but every once in a while I tried, I would eat one and be like, yeah, I didn't really need to do that.
Please lift that out of the episode. Please lift that out. I want to hear that. Yeah, I didn't really need to do that.
That's in. That's staying in.
Is that a drop?
Yep. 100%. It's a new drop. Yep.
Yeah. So whenever somebody says something stupid, yeah, I didn't really need to hear that.
Actually, that's funny. Yeah.
I like it. I like it.
All right, that does it for me, boys. I'm looking forward to next season of all these CW comic book shows.
Yeah. Yeah, same here.
Me too.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
All right, nice. Good night.
Dare to defy.